This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to the Confused Breakfast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
Yeehaw.
It's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house, but there was something truly special about spending 10 hours out in the hot sun of summer watching Cars turn left and then heading to Blockbuster on the way home to pick out a movie to watch when you get home. Mm. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. My name is Mike Schulte. Joining me, as always, two dudes who have the same sickness. It's called denial, and it's probably going to kill them both. Sean Pryor and AJ Vance, how the heck are you?
Probably not wrong, honestly. Yeah, I just haven't gotten the formal diagnosis yet.
It's denial.
I'm sorry, but it's denial. Oh my God. It can't be.
How
there
serious
it goes
is
again.
It?
It's like...
Nile, isn't that a river in Africa?
Denial.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I just got a new couch and I'm in denial that how much that's going to cost me.
Yeah.
While doing a wedding.
And paying taxes.
Yeah.
Well, dudes, on today's episode, we can forget all about life's troubles because we're going to discuss a movie that taught us all that rubbin' is indeed racin'. A movie nominated for an Oscar?
Mm-hmm.
A movie that was essentially Top Gun, but with race cars?
Mm-hmm.
A movie that was peak middle tooth Tom Cruise?
Oh, yeah.
I could not look at anything else when he was on the screen.
It was glaring.
The best movie ever made about NASCAR?
Yep.
Well,
we're, of course, talking about 1990's Days of Thunder.
Let's go, baby.
Well, damn dang it.
Days
ladies and
thunder.
Gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past.
The midnight.
With the Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy wherever you are in the world. Take it away, boys.
Well, we are going to discuss this movie with a modern eye, but first we got to talk about it with nostalgialism, and we got to talk about it with nostalgic eyes. AJ, tell us the first time you saw Days of Thunder, what your thoughts were on the movie, please.
So when I was a kid, my dad liked NASCAR.
Okay. Nuh-uh.
He dug NASCAR. He was a car guy.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
All dads.
Isn't that just a dad trait?
Yeah.
It's either golf or NASCAR. One of those is going to be on the TV with yes. him asleep in front of it, regardless. No, but he really liked NASCAR, and we eventually actually did go to Talladega when Ricky Bobby was being filmed, and Will Ferrell went and he actually said, "Gentlemen, start your engines."
No shit.
It's pretty dope.
That is cool.
But I'm talking about all that because I've never seen Days of Thunder.
Whoa.
So I'm a big old NA.
Sean, what about you, man?
I sat down to watch this with my fiance about 2 years ago. She had seen it and said, "You know, you got to see this movie. You're a movie guy. You got to see this movie."
It was like your first date.
You're a movie guy.
Yeah.
You like movies?
And about halfway through, I fell asleep. So I'm going to say I'm an NA on this too.
So you pulled of your wife,
yes,
or
exactly.
Your fiance.
Well, we both fell asleep.
Okay, all right.
I got infected with the disease.
Well, I'm going to save mine to see if we can go 4 for 4 because Starling, we got an executive producer today. He said, how did I miss the 90s without ever seeing Days of Thunder?
Oh, no.
It's right up my childhood's alley, especially when your dad used to sit in a pickup truck, driver's door ajar, listening to radio broadcasts of races for hours on Sundays. That actually sounds really nice.
That sounds cool.
NASCAR was boring then, and it hasn't gotten much more appealing to me now. This is why I am also goose eggs for Talladega Nights and cars.
Whoa.
I do respect the talent it takes to excel in this sport, but my NASCAR fandom peaked when I waited on Jeff Gordon once in a restaurant in Charlotte, and I found out the NASCAR Hall of Fame building is the exterior on Homeland. I was shocked to see this win the Patreon vote so clearly. I must be missing something. I have an open mind, and I'm looking forward to seeing this classic. So NA for Starling. Can we go 4 for 4 for the first time
ever?
Do
we have it?
Yeah, right. Oh. I loved this movie, dudes. I'm a 9.5 on this nostalgically.
Really?
I had all the Matchbox cars. I had everything. I had the Hardy's one, the Mellow Yellow one, the Superflow, the City. Like, used to pretend like I was Cole Trickle, just like I did in Top. Remember in Top Gun on the playground, me and my buddies used to act out the fight scenes? Same thing for Days of Thunder. We used to like act out the racing scenes in recess as like third graders. This movie. Bought the VHS. Something about the cover art of this movie does something to me.
Yeah.
It really affects me, like in the same way we hear like an 80s song.
Yeah.
Looking at this cover affects me in a weird way. So I'm a 9.5. As a group, we are a 9.5.
Look at that.
And I don't have my computer in front of me, so we don't know where that stacks up.
Nope.
Oh. Probably top 10, I'm going to say.
Yeah. Okay.
But it doesn't matter because we're going to strip it away. We're going to talk about it with a modern day eye. From here on out, Sean's going to get us the details of the movie, all the important ones. What do you got, man?
Let's do it. Produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, Don Simpson, and Gerald Molin. Story by Robert Towne and Tom Cruise. Screenplay by Robert Towne. He also wrote The Firm, Mission Impossible, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, and Oscar-winning Chinatown. Music by Hans Zimmer. Don't know who that is. Cinematography by Ward Russell. He also did episodes of The X-Files or the movie. I'm not sure. But he also did The Last Boy Scout, which I believe is another Tony Scott film, which this film is directed by as well, Tony Scott. Cast: Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Robert Duvall, Randy Quaid, Michael Rooker, Cary Elwes, Fred Thompson, John C. Reilly, Caroline Williams, Chris Ellis, Margot Martindale, J.C. Quinn, and Don Simpson. Producers Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer were legitimate juggernauts in Hollywood as far as making money was concerned. After the success of Flashdance, Top Gun, Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, Paramount Pictures gave the duo $300 million to make any 5 movies they wanted. This deal gave Simpson and Bruckheimer complete freedom on everything. The final scripts for the films didn't even need to be approved by Paramount. The first film they were to focus on was Days of Thunder. Unprecedented kind of deal. Mm. When I read that, I'm like, this is going to be a disaster. And, let me tell you how much of it was. Tom Cruise got the idea for Days of Thunder when he and Paul Newman got to test one of Rick Hendrick's race cars, I assume while filming The Color of Money. Don Simpson hired writer Robert Towne to come in and write a cohesive screenplay adhering to the high concept formula. I don't know if you have any of this, AJ, with Raj, but I'm going to break down what Raj breaks down very, very elegantly. There are 9 rules when making a high concept movie, and these are his rules. He says, 1, the Cruise character, invariably a young and naive but naturally talented kid who could be the best if ever he could tame his rambunctious spirit.
Mm.
2, the mentor, an older man who has done it himself and has been there before and knows talent when he sees it, and who has faith in the kid even when the kid screws up because his free spirit has gotten the best of him. The superior woman, usually older, taller, and more mature than Cruise character, who functions as a mentor for his spirit, while the male mentor supervises his craft. 4, the craft, which the gifted young man must master. 5, the arena in which the young man is tested. 6, the arcana, consisting of the specialized knowledge and lore that the movie knows all about, and we get to learn. 7, the trail, a journey to visit the principal places where the masters of the craft test one another. 8, the proto-enemy, the bad guy in the opening reels of the movie, who provides the hero with an opponent to practice on. At first, the Cruz character and the proto enemy dislike each other, but eventually, through a baptism of fire, they learn to love one another. And 9, the eventual enemy, a real bad guy who turns up in the closing reels to provide the hero with a test of his skill, his learning ability, his love, his craft, and knowledge of the arena and the arcana. He kind of fucking nailed it.
Nails it.
The production was a bit tumultuous for the core creatives on set. While Tony Scott was hired to direct the film, Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer, and Robert Towne would interfere in almost every shot of every setup that Tony had created with his cinematographer. This made the film go way over schedule, which in turn made the film go way over budget. It was said that sometimes the crew would just sit around while the core argued racking up enough overtime to go on vacation for at least 16 weeks. Simpson and Bruckheimer, thinking that they were untouchable in Hollywood, spent $1 million of the film's budget on converting a portion of a condo into a gym with a big neon sign visible from the beach of Daytona that reads Days of Thunder. Simpson had 2 cocaine assistants to get him cocaine, and the pair had other assistants to get cute girls from the beach to come to their almost nightly parties in which Tone Loc would perform. While they thought they were the shit, they were actually, as in Nicole Kidman's words, infantile egomaniacs.
I mean, clearly.
Days of Thunder was released on June 27th, 1990, and on an original budget of close to $25 million, which inflated to $60 million, the film made $157.9 million at the box office, which ended that 5-picture deal with Paramount and pretty much ended the 80s movie as we know it. And it was also nominated for Best Sound.
So I want to get this right. So profiting $70 to $80 million is bad.
In those terms, yeah, because they inflated it so much, it was only. I mean, it would have been a huge profit if it was the original budget of 25.
Oh yeah, yeah, because like 80 million is like way more than like 40 million. Yeah.
Well, you have to look at pictures like Flashdance and Top Gun, what they did.
Yeah,
huge profits, and then this one's just like a little better profit.
Ew,
we need to end this.
Good. I'm glad it ended. AJ, we're going to move on to you. We got to get critics and fans and ratings and reviews and all that stuff. What do you got, man?
I know it when I see it. It's the tomato meter.
Gross.
Did that because Robert Duvall is my favorite person in this movie.
I know it.
Shut up, baby. I know it. Can we go with a 38% big old splat?
That is tied with Armageddon, per the critics.
Okay.
And I have another tie-in with Armageddon later that we'll talk about.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. 60% from the audience. That was a decent little discrepancy. They felt a little bit more positive about this. IMDb is coming in at a 6.1.
On all the movies we've done, Caddyshack is slightly better. The Mummy is slightly worse, per the fans.
Huh. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's how they feel.
Okay, yeah. We usually start with some critics in here, and I'm fine to do that again. Let's go with the top of the charts. The Washington Post gave this an 80 out of 100. Thunder is exactly what it promises to be. Not much, but at dizzying speed, stripped down and free of wind, resistant subtlety. There's a certain integrity to that, a certain deafening integrity.
Mm.
Fair.
Spoiler.
Oscar now? Ooh. Okay, okay. No.
It's on the back of a car.
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler.
Nice, dude.
Get it?
Yep. So, Gene Siskel. Gene Siskel had this to say. 75 out of 100, 3 out of 4. Chicago Tribune. Days of Thunder, the latest Tom Cruise movie, which is a flimsy but nonetheless compelling story of a hotshot amateur race car driver who wants to make it in the big time world of championship stock car racing. It's good writing by Robert Towne and a host of strong supporting performances. Compliment the on-the-track visuals of director Tony Scott in giving us a sense of the leap of faith that is required by drivers at this level. This one is called Dear God. 1 out of 10.
Wait, is this like Dear God?
Dear God.
Like we're having a conversation with God or Dear God?
I think it's...
Is it pulling your glasses off? Oh, my dear God.
Dear God.
I kind of hope it's a prayer, but keep going. Dear God.
Dear God, said Bart Arts 82. Mm. This is in 2017. Warning, spoilers. Like the car. Yeah, nice, yeah. Indeed. Good job. I like that. This is written from a point of view of a racing fan. I won't address the other aspects of the movie. All right. I saw this movie today for the first time, and it is just ridiculous. I mean, after the race is over, he drives into the pits, requests new tires, goes back on track, and crashes into the race winner on purpose. I'm not really familiar with NASCAR, but I'm pretty sure that would get you a lifelong ban for that. Also, the scene where he explains Nicole Kidman that they're developing a little thing called drafting. Early on in the movie, we're told that Tom Cruise doesn't know anything about cars, but drafting is part of the absolute basics of racing. It would be like watching a movie about soccer and the main character says they're developing a little thing called scoring a goal. As a movie, I'd probably give it a 6, but the racing part is just so awful.
Dear God, love Bart.
Dear God. I'll go with this one, and we'll end on a good note here, okay? Total piece of crap, said Tommy Fox F55 in 2002. I can't believe that there are so many people on here who like this movie. The racing scenes are ridiculous. It is impossible to crash into another car 6 times on one lap and keep going. In NASCAR, any type of incident will normally end your chances of winning the race. Not in this movie. The plot contains stories that we've seen 1,000 times in other movies, and all 1,000 have been done better than this. I give it a 1 out of 10, only because Nicole is in it.
Oh.
Yeah, buddy.
So
I feel that.
That's why. We did have somebody from the Little Lebowski Urban Achievers drop on in. Kirlana Wilson had this to say. I never had cable growing up, but I distinctly remember watching this on HBO when staying over at a friend's house when I was a teenager. And I don't remember most of it, just the vague sense of the excitement and pressure I felt surrounding it. I would give my nostalgic rating a 7 for the cool factor, but have never rewatched as an adult for a modern day rating. Okay. So,
Kirlana, you're in for a big old treat.
You're in for a treat, Kirlana.
Give it another watch.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Guys, join in, Little Lebowski.
Yeah, you guys listen to the show. You love it. One of the best ways to support us is to go to patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Tons of different tiers. We got a bonus live watch party that we try to do every month. You can join the Little Lebowski Urban Achievers. You can actually input your stuff into an exclusive thread that we read on air. Tons of great stuff. And that is how you help us out.
Yeah, buddy.
Patreon.com/confusedbreakfast.
Do it.
If your house is anything like my house, you come home from work every day to a porch full of boxes. None of them are yours, so it's kind of annoying. This spring, it's time to get your own box to look forward to. The best box you'll open up all month is from our incredible sponsor, Bespoke Post, and their new seasonal lineup of must-have Box of Awesome collections. The Box of Awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands around the world. I'm not much of a monthly subscription type of a guy, but Bespoke Post really got me excited when I browsed their website. I was checking around, looking through curated items, and I was basically like the lady from Napoleon Dynamite. I want that. Every single thing was something that interested me. Just received my box yesterday and it was full of whiskey stuff. They already know me. I got a variety of bitters and sugar cubes, all of them smelling and tasting better than anything I found in my local stores. But the thing I'm super pumped about is a whiskey infusion kit. I went out, got some unaged Cedar Ridge bourbon, and with all the incredible ingredients they sent me in this kit, I get to essentially make my own special blend of whiskey. Absolutely would have never found something like that without Bespoke Post and this membership. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. It's free to join, and they release new items every month across a ton of different categories. When you become a member, you'll have access to stellar discounts across a plethora of products. We're talking 30% off or more sometimes. Plus, with each box of awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything that comes in your box of awesome is from a small up-and-coming brand. Take it from our podcast that is a small up-and-coming podcast. We love this. It's free to sign up. You can skip a month or cancel anytime. Get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code CONFUSED at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code CONFUSED, for a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment. Boxofawesome.com, code CONFUSED. I'm telling you, click the link, start browsing. You're going to love it.
Well, Well, boys, we messed up big time last week. I had sponsors at my house listening to our episode. I was hugging and holding hands and praying for a good episode. And instead, we ended up sounding like a monkey fucking a football.
Ooh.
Everybody out! Except you two.
Oh.
I'm dropping the hammer. Here we go!
Yeah. Let's go, baby.
Scene one. Chevrolet dealership tycoon Tim Dallin wants to start a NASCAR team because, like, of course, you just start a NASCAR
Whatever.
Team.
Duh.
He's found a driver but needs to recruit former crew chief and car builder Harry Hogg to lead the team. They book a private test run for Dalen's young driver named Cole Trickle. He impresses everyone and in veteran driver Rowdy Burns' car. So Harry Hogg agrees to build him a car. All right.
Great.
First things first. I want to know what you think about the score, like the music, Hans Zimmer in this. Because for me as a child, like this was almost part of the movie. Like this, and you can tell it's Hans Zimmer, just the horns.
Yep. You can tell he's getting to his like drony horn section
in the
90s at this point. Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. I mean, obviously, it's Hans Zimmer.
Can I make it about space? No, it's a car movie. Can I make it a little spacey?
Fine.
Can you make it more about cars? Just a little space? All right, fine.
It's like you're combining the 80s with a space movie somehow. It's like, I don't know. The only complaint I have modern day is that it's we don't get anything else. We get this song. And then, like, that's kind of it.
They kind of hide the rest of the score.
Nothing. It never changes. Like, I want more.
Even, like, longing, like, kind of romantic shots still bring back. It's sexy now.
Just slows down.
It's just like, no, chopped, it's not just
chopped and screwed.
It's like, this is not sexy music, Hans.
I like the whole intro. Like, obviously, like, we talk about all the other Scott films that we've covered, Tony Scott, that, like, I love his camera work. I love his direction. I just love his movies in general. And then, speaking of general, you just get a blatant shot of a Confederate flag. I'm like, oh!
Multiple times.
Go to the general and save some time.
What the hell is that?
And hey, by the way, like, we talk about this all the time. We are not the podcast to be like, they need to recut this movie and take out Confederate. No, this was the South NASCAR culture when this movie was made. So, like, it's fine. It is what it is. You know, like, that's what was in this movie. But yeah, it's like, goo. Kind of like when you hear certain words used in movies that were made in the 80s. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, zing. Yeah,
I was kind of falling asleep. Let's get past that part.
Okay. All right. Well, thank God it didn't last that long.
Move on. Cut, please. Move on.
I think Tony Scott might be like a master of B-roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where I feel Tony Scott, because he brings you into the environment, like the feeling, the warmth, like the heat, the everything, like it's like this almost sunrise, and it's like everything, and he moves in through all this so fast. Like, it's like, today is race day, you know, and it just brings you into, like, today is race day. B-roll of, like, the track and the fans and the drivers and all that good stuff. I think it's great. I like the intro a lot, actually.
The thing I still love about this movie is the warm vibe that the cinematography gives you. There's like, it's almost like there's a filter in this movie that just makes everything, it just warms the screen up a little bit.
It's like not sepia tone, but it's kind of that vibe-ish, you know, I don't know.
It looks great.
Especially like if you're on ground level with the camera and, like, you know, the car's whipping by the camera and then you see the sky as well. It's almost like it's the sky is like tainted with a little bit of oil. It's got like, I don't know. And then, like, I think Michael Bay took a lot from that, where it's just like all of his films look like that now.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like I said, it's just, you described it perfectly. I think especially with like Top Gun, that was really hard because it's a lot of aerial stuff. And like now he's literally grounded and like makes it look so fucking intense. You know? Which, you know, you're in the stands, you're just seeing cars go by, whatever. And then he's right there, cars flying by the camera. It really works.
It does. It's just, it's warm. It's got that grain, that mm-hmm. 80s, 90s grain.
Even
you know?
The 4K Ultra that I watched was like, it still had like the graininess to it and it felt great.
Yeah. Like if they somehow cleared that off, it would do a disservice to the movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I need to know what your thoughts are. When I watched this a million times as a kid, I didn't really care about all the plot holes in this movie. And just the fastness that they just go through. Yeah, here's what we're doing. Whatever. Who cares, dumb kid?
Yep.
Did you, since this is your first watch, I mean, are you thinking the same thing I'm thinking on rewatch now of like, oh, okay, there's a guy, he owns a car dealership, and he's going to put together a NASCAR team because it's really easy to do that, I'm sure, to just have the money in a car dealership to be able to go, I'm going to do a NASCAR team. Well, and then to have, to know this driver, Cole Trickle, who's, we learn has been winning all these races. Why? And we'll eventually figure out why he lost his ride, but why is another team not going, oh yeah, come on.
Yeah.
I got you. Cause he's really good. And then you got Harry Hogg here. Who's like less than a year ago, his driver crashed. And he said, what does Tim come up? And he goes, basically he's like, yeah, I know you quit to avoid investigation into his death.
Oh,
it's like,
whoa. Thanks for that backhanded exposition. Yeah. Jesus.
But also that's not how that works. if you might be liable for someone's death, you can't just be like, well, I quit then. And they're like, oh, guess we can't interview you anymore.
That's
I guess
it.
We can't investigate.
Case closed.
You.
Yeah. Oh, darn it. We almost had him.
Shoot. We almost got to question him about the death of his driver. But now we can't because he's on a farm.
Yeah. He decided to take his leave, I guess. Well, I guess, you know, get out while you're still ahead. Huh? Like, I don't think that's how it works there, Harry.
So does any of that, like, do you care watching this for the first time? You're just like, whatever. I'm into the story. Let's go.
I didn't care. And that's kind of what will be my main gripe about this film as we move forward is that it makes you, the movie cares a lot about it. And it cares to tell you over and over and over again about meaningless stuff. Is like all we are here for is Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise, and cars.
Yeah,
right.
That's it. And it's not a lot of that. There's a lot of like there's a lot of talking scenes which really don't matter. And this movie, like people say, it's the Top Gun, but for race car movies or whatever. It should have been that. It's not that. It really isn't. Like it should have been like just airplane porn. Just NASCAR porn.
You know? Well, yeah, I mean, I'll talk about it later. I have a pretty strong, convincing argument that this is the exact same movie as Top Gun.
Sure.
Kind of like you did with, was that Ebert?
Yeah, Ebert.
Yeah, there's even more that I came up with, but I agree with you. Like, it just, if Top Gun was selling you on going into the Navy and the Air Force, Days of Thunder should have been selling you on going to a NASCAR race.
Exactly.
But it really doesn't sell you on going to a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't crash.
It's be a better person.
But also don't, I mean, it's fine.
Do what you think you're good at, even though you're not in the right place to do it. You know, that's what I think it is. I think if we're going to compare this of like, what's it's the same movie and based off of Raj's nine rules. No, this movie is basically Karate Kid.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's...
Wait, what?
That's it.
That's the high concept formula he's talking
about. Yeah, you're talking about just, I mean, you're talking about kind of the hero, the cruise hero, which just replaced that word with shorter guy hero. And then you have the taller woman who lead.
Okay.
Great. You have the wise old man. He's finding his reasons that he wants to get, that he needs to learn this skill. You're right. So Harry Hogg is just Harry Miyagi, and he just Miyagi's Cole Trickle into this sport instead.
Miyagi Hogg.
He just Miyagi Hogs him all day. And we got the bad guy coming around. We got then the real bad guy coming around. I mean, it's a dude. Okay.
Right at the end, they kind of become friends. He gives him the trophy.
He gives him the trophy. I mean, he just...
Okay.
It's basically Karate Kid.
I mean, and this is the era, right? Okay, so here, let's talk about it. Here's my Top Gun Days of Thunder being the same movie. Cole and Maverick are trying to escape the shadow and legacy of their father. They both find a surrogate father figure in Viper and Harry. They're talented, but they're cocky and reckless. They both ride motorcycles to work.
To yep. work.
Both fall in love with strong professional women who try to deny Tom Cruise's advances, to where finally he's like, yeah, what's going on? And then that's when they like throw themselves at him, yeah, and like push him against a wall. The initial rival now becomes friends with him, while the real threat arrives later on, being Russ Wheeler. Mm-hmm. You know, now him and Rowdy are friends. They both freeze up in the final confrontation, only to snap out of it after flashbacks to then win it all. It's literally, this formula is just going around in circles on all these movies.
But then you get a writer like Robert Towne to write this one, and he's like, oh, I want it to be kind of intellectual, where it should have just been cocaine fueled.
Yeah.
And been like all in on like the cheese factor.
I think they fell in the middle, and that might have been the problem, is they didn't go that way or full on the other way, right? Mm-hmm.
It's a formulaic movie. It's okay. I think that there's enough coming out of this movie, like in the beginning. I think it just honestly kind of pulls me back to we want to set a stage for you, like they do with Top Gun the same way, on the air carrier and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
They really
set
you up.
They
kind of did that with the intro. Yeah. And it's kind of it's a little bit of a, you know, cold open, if you will. We'll call this nice warm open. Ooh, it felt good.
Nice.
But yeah, and then you kind of jump in, and it's like, and then you just get Tim talking to Harry. And it's like first... It's all wrong, because he's going to walk out in that field? You ever walked through a tilled field? Have you ever done that?
Yes. While they're spraying fertilizer.
You're
going
to break
too.
Your ankles three times trying to do that. Spraying fertilizer, spraying for something. You don't want to be around that. He's not going to walk out there with that. And you're not going to have a conversation next to that tractor.
Nope.
It's just not going to happen, guys. Harry, I need you. I need the best. Well, I'm retired. Well, I want you. I already cleared it up, because I'm a hell of a salesman. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Yes.
And there we go.
Do you like Quaid in this movie?
Of course.
Okay. I love Quaid. I will always love Quaid. However, it makes
sense.
He's not
crazy enough for me in this movie.
It makes sense that he is what sounds like is a used car salesman.
Oh, yeah.
Not a... high-end dealership
multi-millionaire
guy.
Yeah. Like, sounds like he's got $1,000 in his bank account. He's like, I'm gonna start a NASCAR
yeah
team.
Fuck it.
Because I got
always
the driver
wanted to.
I spent all my money on renting this track for a couple laps. $2,500.
Leverage the dealership. Like, you know, like, that's fine, whatever. I don't know.
What do we think about, do you guys watch NASCAR, or have you watched NASCAR? Are you allowed to hit the other people?
Sean. There's bumping that happens. It does happen, but you're not supposed to do it like this. At least not anymore. I don't know.
I can't imagine NASCAR fans actually like watching this movie and being like, yeah. Because like I have a feeling this is nothing what NASCAR really is.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the feedback. If you watch this as a NASCAR fan, you're not going to like it, because
none of it's believable.
When there's like there are times like, we'll just get it out of the way, bumping into people like several times,
on
like
purpose.
Doing it on purpose, like nudging people, the rubbing, as they call it. If you do that enough, then they will black flag you. Yeah. If you're pushed into the wall too much, if you got too much stuff coming off your car, if your car's not in good enough condition, if you spin out, there's always going to be a yellow flag when there's a spin out. They will stop, like they will halt everything to a yellow flag. That doesn't happen half the time in this. Like, they just keep letting it go. They're just like, keep going. He's fine. He spun out, but he can get back into third just like that.
It'll take him maybe two laps. He'll be back to third.
Whatever.
Place. Don't worry
I think
about
maybe
it.
Maybe the most accurate thing about that they portrayed for NASCAR in this is the names. Like Buck Bretherton.
Yeah.
Cole Trickle, Rowdy Burns, Darrell Waltrip.
Well,
I think I heard a... Terry Smuckers.
Darrell Waltrip is a real guy.
Okay. Yes. Duke Chandler, Chilton Dominguez, Richard Dickel, Kyle Unleaded, Seth Quilter. Just come up with something. Like
Kyle Gearshift.
There you go.
Mark Rubin.
Duck Felter.
Well, there is a real, like, that's what I love so much. There's a real guy named Dick Trickle.
Dick yes. Trickle.
Like, that is unbelievable.
It's a rather unfortunate name to have as a child and all the way through your adult years.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll just go with Richard.
Yeah,
man.
What you never understand is, like, their name Richard, you can always just be like, hey, guys, I'm not going to be Dick anymore. I'm Richard. Yeah. Richard Trickle. Rick Trickle.
Well, I can't spell that well, so it's Dick.
It would be Ditchard. A wonderful game to play of, like, pick the false name.
Here's four names. Tell me which one is not a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, pick the one that's not the NASCAR driver. And if you had Rowdy Burns next to Rusty Wallace,
Wheeler,
Chilton Dominguez,
and Bobby Labonte.
You gotta pick the fake one.
Like, you would have a fucking tough time if you knew nothing about racing.
Well, if you're talking about, like, NASCAR, and this is not how it works, you cannot, as a kid, I believe this with all my heart because I love Tom Cruise, and you see the way he comes in on his motorcycle, and he looks so, this is peak Tom Cruise hair for me, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
I love his hair in this, but he shows up, and he's never driven a stock car ever. He's never been in a car. He knows nothing about cars. He gets in a car that is meant to go pretty much the exact same speed as every other car, and he drives it faster than any other professional driver in this trial lap. That is not believable in any way, shape, or form.
What do I got? I just got to press the gas and steer.
Oh, I just go?
I can do this shit.
So I'll go faster than anyone else that's a professional that's been doing this all their life. Okay.
Yeah. Weird. Oh, sorry. Did I break it? Oh, God.
And then Harry even says, like, I know that ain't a race car driver. I can tell by looking at him. It's like, So the physical look of a person can tell Harry Hogg whether or not.
I've seen enough.
I look like a race car driver?
No.
Okay.
You don't.
Okay.
I think Harry Hogg would have been like, nah.
Yeah. He ain't got the stones.
Mm-mm.
He probably likes movies and has a podcast.
Yeah. Why don't you go play your inside?
He's probably about to talk about me talking to a skeleton of a car on a podcast.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on here, guys?
Do you not like this? Come on.
I think it's
you can
delightfully fucking ridiculous.
There's a lot of feel. I don't know. I would like to know if, like, NASCAR or maybe race car people in general, right? Like, in that industry, if they are kind of this superstitious, you know? I would like to know that.
I'm sure.
Like, goalies
sure
there's hit gotta their be, posts or whatever.
Yeah.
Or,
you
know. I think the, like, majority of professional athletes are some sort of superstitious.
If you're at this sort of level, right? Like,
if
you're
not
probably.
A little bit.
And just to clarify, he says, like, you've been racing open wheel for however long, and he's apparently very good at, and I had to look it up. So they're talking about, like, F1, right?
No. I think they're talking, like, sprint cars kind of thing, you know, like those cars, they're really small and they got the big tires in the back and the small in the front, like dirt track stuff. That's what I picture.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Drag race?
I don't know
what the fuck.
I think your next step is like F1 IndyCar from NASCAR.
Yeah.
I think that's the peak, right?
Okay. I'm not sure. I feel like they never specify.
Well, remember when he's looking at the track later on in the movie and he's longingly going, remember the old days? Like, that kind of car is what I picture.
Which one
he used
can you
drive.
Drink while doing?
NASCAR.
NASCAR.
I'll go with NASCAR.
I think any of them. So, I think you can't do F1 that way because, like, it's just so tight. You know, you can't do.
You got
that.
Your video game controller for the steering
wheel.
You
have your Earthmobile straw. Yeah, come down.
All you can do is have, like, a straw that goes up and then a catheter that goes out. Yeah, that's all you got to do.
In and out.
I don't know.
No, we're still talking about Robert Duvall here.
Listen, fine.
Okay.
I think Robert Duvall is the best part of this movie.
I think he is too. I'm a big Robert Duvall fan. This could be one of his best acting roles.
I think so.
You know, and I think of it in, like, acting roles in the way of, like, sure, he does, like, some Westerns. He does some great Westerns. He does, like, some Cool Hand Luke. He does. Just had to bring that back.
Gone
it's been
to
60 a while.
Seconds.
Gone to 60 Seconds. Great Western. but I think about that, too. Like, and that, I think Gone to 60 Seconds is a great comparison because he's very different as Otto in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, totally.
Than he is here. But here, he's even got mannerisms. He's got mouth ticks. He's got, you know, like, you know, he's very dialed into this character, it feels like. And I think it's a very good portrayal of somebody in this position, you know?
I like him a lot.
He's just such a lovable face. Like, this whole talking to the car, and, like, I just buy it. I fully buy it that he's the best car builder in the business, and that he's like, yeah, I'm gonna do this to you, baby. Like, talk. It's like referring to the car as a woman, like referring to a boat as a woman. Like, there's a personality to it, right? And you got to treat it as such.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm a big fan of that.
I wanted to draw a connection between Harry Hogg and Otto in Gone in 60 Seconds, but I was like, they're two very. This is honestly why I didn't, because they're very different characters.
You never know, man.
Even though they both like cars, sorry, you got to do a little bit more, right?
maybe that once, now that he's back in NASCAR, the investigation can start over again on Harry Hogg.
Oh yeah,
and he becomes a criminal.
Yep, and so they basically find out that yes, indeed, he did crooked things to these cars to make them go faster, and he cheated, and he was the reason that Buddy Brotherton died. So he went to jail. Old man, though, they sent him to jail for like 5 years, and it's fine. And in prison, he became bitter and like learned the criminal ways, and said, "When I get out, I'm gonna put my car use to real use
instead of
my knowledge.
Instead of building them, I'm tearing them down. The chop shop.
Then he became
Otto.
Otto from Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes.
Had to change his name, obviously.
And obviously.
Because people were like, Harry Hogg, I remember you. No, not me.
Moved out west after the whole gumball thing, you know, and like so he went out west, out to L.A.
Whatever happened to
Met
Cole Trickle?
Memphis.
He died.
He's dead.
Yeah, he died. He got in a motorcycle accident the night after he won the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
Wild.
Turns out he just had some bad habits.
His girlfriend, a doctor, was on the back.
Yeah.
Went back to school, was in military academy, and just started bartending. Just started bartending in New York.
You know? Wait, no.
Wait a second.
This movie's basically a cocktail. I did one last thing. Margot Martindale, the girl sitting, like, keeping the time or whatever. She's in Dewey Cox, and John C. Reilly's in this movie too. I just thought, like, that was just such a great thing. Like, she's his mom in Dewey Cox.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, so they're like here in this movie together.
Well, this is actually apparently her. If you look at the Jarrett Lay Off Me, I'm Starving, Confused Breakfast actor database, she and Carrie Elwes is their third movie they've been in that we've done, apparently. But number one being Tom Cruise, this is his fifth now. He's moving up. I don't know when our next Tom Cruise movie might be.
Where's Michael Rooker at, like four?
I know.
He's got to be close.
Unfortunately, you know, I don't have my computer.
Mallrats.
I think he
Cliffhanger,
he's only at three then, okay. I think, as well.
Three might make sense, yeah. I did want to take a second maybe to talk about him, because I like Michael Rooker in this a lot, actually. It's meant to be Dale Earnhardt. Did you guys see that?
No.
It's meant to be. They actually approached Dale Earnhardt Senior about being Rowdy Burns, but he didn't want to be a bad guy. He didn't want to portray like a bad guy in a movie, so they did not go with him. They brought in Michael Rooker.
I'm fine with
Michael
that.
Rooker. And it is, yeah.
I thought he was great, and I think he's a great kind of red herring of a bad guy.
Yeah, I love him.
I think this is a great place for him to be. I think it's exactly where he needs to be in a movie, as a red herring bad guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I like the fact where he's Cole takes his car out and drives in. He sits on his bike. He's like, anything happens to that car, I'm fucking up your bike.
Good. Yeah.
And I love how they're like, now remember, Rowdy, we told you that you're, and he's like, yeah, I kind of remember that, but I don't remember saying yes to that. A lot of pressure being the number one driver. Fine, whatever. I'm sure we could give him our backup car. I'm sure we have a backup car. Whatever. No problem.
There's plenty of cars in NASCAR, I imagine.
I bet
they had to get the best guy's car.
I feel like Cole Trickle's just going to like, he's going to come up and he's going to be like, NASCAR, huh? He's like, NASCAR, huh? Okay. So where's the NAS button at? On the other says NASCAR. Oh, NASCAR.
NAS.
All right, I'll still give it a shot.
I should go.
I don't belong here.
You like how he puts he walks up and gently places his bag on the hood of the car? Like, I felt like that was kind of disrespectful.
Yeah.
I think it kind of is too. It's like, you're going to scratch the paint.
Yeah,
bro. Come on.
That's a sponsor.
I mean, give like Tony Scott again. Like, he's like, no, he's second guessing himself. And it's just that look, the look of Tom Cruise. Yeah. Like, God damn, he's a fucking movie star.
He's so good at acting, man.
I know. It's upsetting. Okay. I love you, Tom Cruise. We get it.
Thanks for fixing your middle tooth.
Yeah. last thing I would say about like this portion of it is the weirdness of the duster jacket. That felt very out of place for me. Tom Cruise on this motorcycle.
So the duster jacket felt out of place, but having a business collar white shirt buttoned all the way up felt fine, though.
Well, is it all, he's, you know,
you gotta set your, I mean, he's putting these layers on one after another. He put that on, so that can't feel out of place.
He's interviewing for a new job.
Bringing his own helmet.
The denim's not, the denim on top is like, well, it's an interesting choice, I suppose. But then he's got the duster on it. It's like, now you're just trying to be a cowboy. Like, you put on the collared shirt, then denim, and then a duster. It's like, are you, I'm gonna steal whole time. That's like what he's got in his earbuds. He's just got Bon Jovi in his earbuds. All right, now it all makes sense. Never mind, guys. I have been using Shopify for 3-4 years now for my brand, Wolf Den Wears. When I started this brand, I was trying so many different platforms to try and get this done. And I am so thankful a friend recommended Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that will help you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your own online shop stage to the first real life store stage, or in my case, going to a market, setting up a tent, and accepting some credit cards, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. I will literally sometimes realize I've got a new product and I have to put it in 5 minutes before this market starts. And I just go onto my mobile platform, drop it on in, put in my inventory. It is so easy, guys. Honestly, what I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will give you everything you need to take control and then just take your business to that next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklyn, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/confused, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/confused now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/confused.
Scene two, Cole has a rough start to his NASCAR career. Every race ends very badly. Cole confesses to Harry that he doesn't know anything about cars. So Harry Hogg puts him on a training course, which eventually leads to his first win and celebration.
Nice.
Tell me that this is what I meant. So all we get is that main theme song by Hans Zimmer. But, you know, like, at least with Top Gun, we had, like, the signature song moments.
Right.
And this is the only one we get. We get Gimme Some Lovin', which I love. And to this day, anytime I hear this song, I think of Days of Thunder. It's such a great placement. But it's just so weird to me we didn't get any other music. Like, we didn't get any other featured signature songs in this
You're
movie.
Right, because in this, like, high-concept formula that Raj so eloquently states out... there's a lot of them are like Flashdance, you know, there's those two huge songs in there. Top Gun. What's the Top Gun song?
Oh, Danger Zone, what's bro? It?
Yeah, like a huge fucking gigantic hit. And all of, you know, Beverly Hills Cop has that other song too.
I'm sorry, Kenny Loggins.
There's usually in these movies like a deal with an artist to make an original song, but they didn't do it for this one, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it could have benefited from it. I don't know.
And I feel like they have like a, there's a soundtrack out there that apparently has some like banger songs on it, but I just don't remember a lot of them in the movie, to be honest.
Guns N' Roses, like Knockin' on Heaven's Door is on there for it's some reason.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, then put it in the movie.
Yeah.
and that's what I've always hated about this era, though. They, you know how like the movie would have all these great songs in it, but then you'd go to buy the soundtrack and it didn't have any of them on it.
Yeah.
And vice versa, or the soundtrack's got this great song on it, but it never made it in the movie.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I do, I just love this montage so much of him learning how to race. And I love, this is where Robert Duvall's like character is so great to me, is he's such a loving guy, but he gets so pissed off.
Yeah.
Like when they're like, oh, hey, look, We don't have to fix this side of the car.
Yeah.
And he runs up and kicks it. He goes, I don't want you getting soft on me.
I don't want you getting spoiled or anything.
I don't want you getting spoiled or anything.
And when he comes back in and he says, he's like, when you get out there, I want you to hit the pace car. Hit the pace car? He's like,
hit the pace car.
And he's like, what? Why? He's like, because you've hit every other damn thing out there. I want you to be perfect.
He's so good. And then it leads to the ice cream. No, I'm afraid that's a negative, Cole. We're eating ice cream.
Yeah. That was like a real thing that happened.
Apparently, too. Yeah.
That was taken from like.
It said in 1987 at the Southern 500, Hendrick Motorsports number 35 team and crew chief Harry Hyde, who apparently this was kind of based off of Harry Hogg. And Richmond's replacement driver, Benny Parsons. He was trying to pit, and they were like, sorry.
Dang.
Yeah. And they were like, cold. They came back around again for a lap, and they were like, yeah, you don't get to pit. And I think it was a similar thing. It's like, there's so much damage to the car, like, we don't even want to deal with it.
We
don't want to deal with you right now, because you're not even running it the right way, man. And I think that's the biggest thing with Harry at this point, too, is him. He's so frustrated because I think that's an underrated cut, is it's him working on and building this car and having that intimate conversation. I'm going to shave a half inch off you. I'm going to give you a fuel line with an extra gallon of gas in it.
Oh my God.
You're going to be a streamlined butterfly, baby. Just like he does it in 60 seconds.
Right,
and then all of a sudden it's just like, whoop, him crashing it. And you're like, man, he's just frustrated now because like you're just doing this to my car that I spent so much time on.
Ooh, here's a prop.
I don't know how it hit me at the moment it hit me, but I wanted one of those nutty bars so bad. Did you see how good those look? The ice cream with the toffee around the outside and the nuts in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It hit me when I was watching him eating that. I'm like, oh,
we can
so
go
good.
Get one right
you
now.
You think we could?
Yeah. Harry's entire collection of hats.
Ooh, he does got a lot of good hats.
I want all of them.
I was going to say Harry's I think what does it say? Petroleum or something like
petroleum.
It's not like it doesn't say petroleum, but it says something like
petrololeum.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. But that it's the hat he wears most often.
Yeah,
that's the one I want. That's my problem.
You can have that one. I'll get all.
You got the rest.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, fair enough.
This is too where it went again. I talked about it in the intro where I as a kid I didn't care, but now I'm thinking about it. I want to know more. When we get this moment where Harry has to talk to Cole and he says, "Okay, listen. I want you, you're burning the tires. We can't finish the races. We need a sponsor. I want you to run 50 laps your way, any way you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to run 50 laps my way." And you're like, okay, cool. This will be great for Cole. He doesn't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
Cole runs his 50 laps and he pulls into the pits. And Harry goes, he basically just goes, okay, now just make sure the tires don't go as bad.
Yep. Yeah.
He explains, he never once says, here's the new method of how you should drive.
Here's the technique that you need to employ. Yeah.
He explains the idea behind, it's like, so when you're doing it, you're getting going too much, and the you're burning up the tires,
which
they get greasy, means you're sliding all over the place. Oh, okay. So what do I do to not do that?
Go ahead, buddy. You're good to go.
All right, get out there.
He explained. He knows nothing. He doesn't even comprehend what he's telling him at this point.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything about cars. Like, and that's maybe the selfish part of me is I want to know, like, oh, cool. I want to know, like, the intricacies of, like, what is the right way to drive? Like, tell me more about NASCAR.
Yeah,
get me involved in, which is why I talk about the F1 Drive to Survive so much, because you get a lot of that inside detail of, like, dude, I didn't even realize that. Holy crap. They do that? Wow.
They're running the rotary girders way too hard.
The girders?
Oh, no.
Yeah. The girders are at half power.
Yeah, well, obviously, he's running out of rear view mirror fluid.
Yeah, dude. You cannot run out of that.
You can't do that, dude. It dims down, and then you're too light.
Yeah.
So
the engine is not good to either.
Yeah.
When your plugs are rotating...
Well, you
don't want that.
if you lose all the rubber bushing around your lug nuts, you're fucked, dude.
You're not driving.
That's what happens if you're going to run those tires too hard. You're going to lose all your rubber bushing.
But then, as much as I want to hate on this, then a moment like this that I should equally hate happens, and I'm just like, actually, I really like it.
You know,
when Tim Dolan, when he finally wins his race. Like, he's sucked the whole year, and they don't have sponsors.
Yeah.
And then he wins it, and 5 minutes later, Tim walks down. He's like, we got ourselves a sponsor. And he's got hats and he's got everything. So I'm picturing in my head that literally a sponsor goes, today's the day. I think I'm going to pick a car. Yeah. And they go to the track with a case of hats, a signed contract, and they're like, whoever wins the race today, we're going to sponsor.
That's my car.
Oh, wow. Cole Trigo's first race. There's his owner. Here's your hats. Sign
here,
this.
Tim.
Like that cannot be how this works.
I know, it's like he talks about it like it's like scouts,
yeah,
in a high school football
they're
stadium.
They're in the stands just watching,
and he says he's holding hands and kissing. Yeah. He goes hugging and holding hands. What?
Kissing?
And how do like, I get to be a team sponsor owner?
So how? let's think about that. Like they're up in like the box suite, right? And like the,
on top of an
spent,
RV,
like, some of his last money just like. Oh, on top of the RV.
That's what it looked
like. You're right. And he's like, and he's got sponsors, like people are coming in, and he's just like, all right, hey, no, feeling really good about today. No, they've had some great conversations with my guys.
He told them how to not burn the tires up.
Cole knows about tires now. He's like, he's got the two tires in his suite that he's like, see, look what he used to do. This is what he's doing
and
now.
And he shaves 6 seconds off his time.
Way? My way.
Yeah. So should be good. And then he crashed. He's like, oh God. And the sponsors are just like, no, not today, Tim.
No, he's holding hands with Mellow Yellow. And as he crashes, Mellow Yellow, let's go.
Oh gosh. He's like, he's like, come on, Cole, trickle into our hearts.
Oh. I love that mental image so much, like, of them just in the box.
Sponsors like putting down like their free complimentary beverage.
Oh,
be like,
my God,
it's gonna be a no for me.
They have like individual like stands, like standees outside, yeah. And kids come up to them like, oh, free fucking city hats. Like, no. Oh. Those are for our potential sponsored people that we're going to pick.
We're
today.
Super flow now. Okay?
Yeah. Those are
we're sponsored by a tampon.
I should get sent. Super flow? The motor oil? No, the tampons.
No, you know, for super heavy flow days?
Yeah. these liners have wings. Super flow.
Just like our car.
You know what? Sometimes life happens to you fast.
Okay? See it fast. Sometimes life throws you around turn four and you need some wing protection.
You need to recover from that.
Luckily, these liners have spoilers on both sides.
Cole Trickle doing a commercial for Super Flow Tampa.
Don't trickle your way.
Next time you head into treacherous turn four, don't forget your Cole Trickle Superflow.
Doesn't that kill that? Like, we want to prevent the trickle is what we really want.
This is the only trickle we want on your Superflow, Cole Trickle. Hey, the only trickle you should be thinking about is
like, what they got out was they're like, we got ourselves a sponsor. They're like, tampons. He's like, I had to hold a lot of hands to get these tampons. Well,
and he's just like throwing tampons at him.
Oh my God. How did
panty liners.
Guys, again, this is why you listen to the Confused Breakfast. A lot of movie podcasts out there. A lot of them talk about Days of Thunder. Never once has tampons been mentioned in a Days of Thunder review.
So why do you listen to this show? Yeah. But that is
why you turned it off.
Oh man.
Oh man. Well, then you get to this unbelievable scene of them riding in the truck. And the cops pull him over. And please help me out, because what I thought as a kid was that these were actual police officers and that she was an actual police officer.
But he was just so hot. She couldn't help herself.
And yeah, and they were just like, oh, we got to set Cindy up with somebody. And that they actually like pulled them over, and she was a cop, and she's like, thought the boys might like me.
I think you're a pretty girl. We have a race to get to tomorrow, and I, all right, come on.
But what happens? Right. What happens after this, though? It's like they thought you might like me. It's like
I did.
Yeah, and then
I like redheads.
Everyone. So then after that, it's like,
you have to
man,
be taller than me.
We got him, guys. Well, we'll wait out here while you go bang her. And
tell me.
What are we doing?
Are they actual cops? Or no?
Are they just like?
Or is this fake?
That's their stripper gimmick.
maybe they knew the cop, like two of them were actually cops, because there's three of them. So technically, maybe two of them actually are cops. And then they hired a girl and they put her in an outfit.
Come on. You cannot tell me that like actual cops would be allowed to perpetuate this, like to be a part of this.
But yeah, I mean, but those looked like real cop cars.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Is she like, was she purchased? And like, if he does like her, what's going to happen? And are they supporting that? Because it seems like something that cops wouldn't support.
I like to picture that he actually started dating her. And that she was at the race at Daytona, and she got to the hospital.
Yeah.
Like a couple weeks later, they wouldn't let her in.
Oh, my God, Cole.
And when she walked in right when Cole was grabbing the doctor's hand and putting it in her crotch, and she's looking through the hole in the door, and she left. That's so, what I like to picture.
They did it to him again. That's what she thought. I see how it goes.
I would love, I'll actually put a poll up in the Spotify on this one. Like, tell me if these were actual cops. Or if this was like a made up hired stunt for like fake cops, fake cop cars with all the money they got from Superflow.
For me, it seemed like it was a couple of real cops that like they knew because they've been in this county before or something, and then they hired a girl. That's how I like justified it in my head. I guess I don't know, but again, we'll go back to it. There are some things that apparently you just have to let go because they are going to, they're moving on as fast as they want you to move
on. You know what it seemed like? And it was like actually my first thought, like when her tits were out and I realized what was going on was like Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer told Robert Towne to put a scene in here where this happens and he had to write himself out of it. And so he wrote himself out of it with Nicole Kidman being introduced kind of like that.
Okay, like pretty much right afterwards.
There's no reason for this scene other than cocaine boys. And so now I need to justify it throughout the rest of my script.
Well, we need to get some lightheartedness into this. We were just talking face to face with Buddy Brotherton about his dad dying in a fiery crash less than a year ago.
Fuck all that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. We got to get back to tits.
Yes.
This emotion's not going to do it for me.
Hey, we're
this
having
emotion
kind of a
will
moment.
Not stand. Sorry.
We're having a moment and I like the camaraderie that's happening on the bus. Like it's good. He wins his first race. Seems like sky's the limit for Cole Trickle, right? And so, but yeah, you have, or is it Buck Brotherton?
Yeah, so Buck.
And Buddy is his dad.
Buddy Brotherton's his dad, yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, that was my dad. And he's like, oh.
Really?
Buddy Brotherton was your dad? He's like, yeah, he died. So, I don't know, he crashed his car. And then like Harry's coming in. And he's like, oh, can we talk about it more?
Can we say how he probably had a massive heart attack before he hit the wall?
Yeah. Can we justify it that way? Let's make this an awkward conversation. And like Harry's like walking back in. Yeah, we can talk more about it. Oh, wait, tits are here. All right, cool.
Moonshine.
Get your story right, Buck.
Let's not talk about it again.
And good line from Robert Duvall there when he goes, distribution is consumption.
That's it's a great line.
It's a pretty good line.
You know what? Now thinking about it. He does. Tom Cruise is having to bang this girl. He was just going through and just having it out.
Has to.
The thing's just rocking back and forth. They're all just kind of like, yeah, so should have grabbed more moonshine. And then they go back in and he's just like, ah, yeah, that was fun, guys. And then Buck's just like, so anyways, yeah, dad, he just. anyways, we aren't sure. We think it's like, oh,
well,
God.
Dude, I really need to get this out, man.
Cole's dong is still damp, and he's still
his dipstick is still a little wet.
He's got some trickle dong.
There's a banana in those pants. Yeah. Like that thing was
come on.
That thing's got a weird curve. Was that from the seatbelt in the car? Like what's going on here? That's not real.
We do have to talk about like if you were to ask who is the face of NASCAR when it comes to Hollywood. I think a lot of people would point out like Will Ferrell, or they'd say Tom Cruise.
Oh.
But it's John C. Reilly. If you think about this, I'm wondering, he's Buck Brotherton in this movie. I'm wondering if he is actually the same person from Talladega Nights.
Mm.
Think about it. He was in this business. He grew up in it. His dad died. He was looking for a best friend after his dad died. He tried with Cole, But like, obviously Cole retires after this and he gets married and he moves away, and Buck's just kind of in NASCAR living off of his dad's name. And finally he just says like, I'm going to get in with some other crews. No one wants them. They don't want that negative bad juju that comes in with them. So he just leaves the sport for a while, kind of travels around, finds himself. He comes back to the sport, but he wants to get in not based off of his name. So he changes his name, obviously, to Cal Naughton Jr., the junior honoring his dad still in a way, saying, hey, I'm sorry, dad. And then, you know, like everybody changes their name for NASCAR. Clearly, Rowdy Burns, Russ Wheeler, Dick Trickle,
Chilton Dominguez,
Ricky Bobby,
Rusty Wallace. Dominguez,
Rusty Wallace, Kyle Petty. Yeah, right, bro.
Come on.
People change their name for NASCAR all the time. So he changes his name, gets in with his new buddy, Ricky Bobby. And there you go. I think he's the same guy.
Okay. I can buy that.
I like it.
Oil Slick.
Yeah.
Oil Slick.
Doyle Slick.
He's a good one.
Yeah. He does pretty good. You know, he's usually a top 10 finisher. So, yeah.
Well, let's move on to scene three. So the rivalry between Cole and Rowdy intensifies throughout the season until a race at Daytona where they both are seriously injured in a bad crash. Upon recovering, they're forced to drive to dinner together to meet NASCAR president. This forms a friendship between the two. This crash is pretty nuts.
It's a brutal fucking crash. Yeah. But like he's also like, there's a crash coming out of turn four. He's like, I see it. Don't worry. Oh, I don't see it.
Wait, what
fucking
happened?
Smashes him, man.
So, and I think that I feel like there is some truth. We kind of hear it later on when Cole comes around, that if you have a lane and your crew is usually directing you and like, hey, take this lane, make sure you drive right through, don't break through this smoke.
Let's say go through the top because everything should roll down.
You have like top lane, you should be clear, don't decelerate through this smoke, you need to go right through. And that's what Cole kind of mentions later on. He's like, he should have been gone by then. And also, if you see a crash, then go to where they are because they should be rolling down, same idea, out of your way. He should have been gone by then. And he's saying Rowdy hit the brakes, and that's why he went right into him. And so there is some good theory, I think, in that. NASCAR people, tell us we're wrong. I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong.
I have a hard time believing that they wouldn't just be like, hey, everybody, come to a stop. Red flag. Like, there's a giant crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like...
This is a massive crash.
Keep racing. We'll figure it out.
It's not unheard of. Like I've watched some NASCAR, right? And like you do eventually get some far out leaders. You know, if there's a big crash in the pack, sure. But this is just very strange. It all happens so fast. Mm-hmm. This is maybe the one part of the movie that I'm like, man, there's no dynamics to this very pivotal scene.
Yeah.
There's no dynamics to it. Do you know what I mean by that?
Like, I think they try and squeeze out as much as they can of any dynamic they want out of this, because like after this, right, Rooker's character, Rowdy, gets like pretty much CTE.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a whole big kind of plot point to the movie, which works, I guess, in the end, but they spend so much time on it. And mm-hmm. we're just like, we get it. Like, they crash. We need to meet our love interest now. Like, let's just go.
Yeah, like, it just seems like we're in the race. Everything's kind of going fine, whatever. And then, oh, by the way, there's a crash back there. You guys are coming around to it. Oh, I see it. Okay. It's like, it's the cutaway just happens all in such a strange way here. And then there's no cut of sound. There's no relief from noise. It's just noise, 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 mm-hmm. noise. And then it happens, and then we're cut to the hospital.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like I say, there's no dynamics of this very pivotal scene that's like coming through. And like you're saying, Sean, it's like they want to get there, but I feel like this is where they could have spent a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Rather than, I don't know, what some of the stuff we have later.
Yeah. Well, we get Nicole Kidman in here. I think that's her... I think this is one of her first biggest roles, but then like her first appearance for us on the show, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And crazy. I'm trickling. Yeah. Oh boy, I would trickle if she walked in and was my doctor.
Well, Tom Cruise was trickling too, because this is where they
not
met.
Trickle.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I think Tom Cruise pretty much picked her exclusively for this.
I'm going to marry her.
It's like, I want that.
I thought she was going in and out of her accent, but I think she's just in it.
I think she's just staying in it.
She's just there.
Because he gets her like a kangaroo later on. And
yeah.
I think, okay, they're not trying to hide it.
She was 22.
What? Good Lord.
During this movie. 22.
I can't help but see that image in my head of her leaving the divorce attorney. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. No.
After she got divorced from Tom Cruise, there's a photo from the paparazzi of her just going, yes! Like the most joy I've ever seen on someone's face that she finally got the divorce finalized from Tom Cruise.
Wow.
I have trouble not thinking of that when I'm watching this movie.
Yeah, that's funny.
10 years of space people, religion stuff.
Yeah. Well, this is their first of three movies together that they did.
At least
three movies.
Eyes Wide Shut, and then I don't know the other one. But
she's good in this. Like, we like her. This is kind of her breakthrough role, I think.
She's one of my top five actors of all time. I love her so much in anything she does, and she's just unbelievably beautiful in everything, obviously, still to this day. Seeing her in this was just, like, blowing me away.
Yep.
Her performance is amazing in this,
especially when she tells him off.
Yeah,
later it's really good.
It's very well done. Like everything about what her performance is in this, I honestly will say I think it kind of helps save some of this last of the second act into the third act.
Good point.
I think it helps save a lot of it.
Because the script wanted to be a more of a drama. It seems like, anyway, to me, that's one of my flaws. But like having her in it, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. Like she elevates all of this to an nth degree.
I love this. Like, imagine this actually happening nowadays of a patient grabbing a doctor's hand and putting it in their crotch.
Yeah.
And like, that would not go over as well as this goes over.
Correct.
Like this kind of teaches you, like, no, it's fine.
They're all
don't worry
just
about
like
it.
Laughing.
I really enjoy them laughing. Like the kind of
Colt. This is your doctor, and they just kind of lose it.
Not like pulling him away, just laughing at him. It's like, hey, quick, stop.
She
don't
leaves
do that.
It there too. She goes, yeah, oh, okay, that's very interesting.
She's like, Mr. Trickle, this is larger. Okay, but at the same time, you're right. It would not go over
this
well.
This is not.
Yeah, blame it on the brain damage. I don't know. Yeah,
he did.
That's about it.
And then, like one of my favorite scenes as a kid was them racing in the wheelchairs. I don't know, like I don't know why, but it's just so funny to
first
me,
time
dude.
Watching this. I'm like, they're not gonna.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Okay.
That final shot where they come around the corner, and they're like. Oh,
yeah.
What's going on? Hey, everybody.
Tim is not Rowdy's owner, team manager person, is he? Because, like, he says, what's his name? Big John or Big,
Big John
Jeff?
Big John is the president of NASCAR.
Yeah.
Great reveal, by the way, when he turns around in his chair. Yeah. No, I think the other guy who's second on my list for punchable face, the other guy in the room, I think is Rowdy's owner.
Okay.
And so I think they're both in there together representing their teams and their drivers, which is also strange that they would do this sort of medical examination together. It's like when we did Office Space and they had group therapy together.
Yeah.
Like that's not how that works. I don't believe that you can see the brain scans of another patient
right.
just because you're in the same sport. Like, I don't think that's how that works.
Involved in the same accident together,
Or like I don't think that's how that works.
Happy Gilmore, why is Shooter McGavin in this, like, meeting where they're reprimanding
right,
Happy
Gilmore,
right? Like, why are they doing this? It doesn't make sense. That's very strange, I think, and where they're at in their health and status and everything and reporting on, like, what's going to happen. I don't know. It just seems very strange. It's all there just to have a little bit more tension, but that does seem a little bit lazy to me. Do you guys like this?
Yes.
The rental car race?
Yes.
Imagine the rental people being like, the fuck?
I want to know what happens when they leave the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at this point, they kind of have to be like, hey, Big John, now that we had a great dinner and all, we need a ride.
We got it out of our system. So,
like wheelchair racing and rental car racing, racing's just in these boys' bones. They just can't help but race.
And by the way, it's like since you agree that I'm not going to let you drive this car,
and you agree
that you're not going to let me drive this car, even though I've been driving it.
they've been driving for miles, and Tom Cruise looks content as can be.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thanks, man. Thanks for driving, dude. I didn't feel like it.
Like, he didn't expect this, and, like, he didn't think this in that moment of, like, I'm not letting him take me up to the door, up to the valet. I'm not getting out of the passenger seat of valet. Oh, God. He's not sitting there. Let's not let him dwelling and ruminating on this. It's like, he's literally like, what are we doing here? He's like, we're going to have a drive-off with rental cars, Ford Tauruses.
Versus like Chevy Impalas.
The most like weird basic 90s cars.
That's what I love so much about this is those two just shitty cars just going from like one second they're on a street, the next second they're driving through the ocean on the beach.
It is pretty funny of them cutting back and forth.
And the music change. Yeah. The them sitting there, he's in quiet crumpling his cigarette thing.
Yeah.
Just a big fan. I am a big fan of this. I love this scene.
It's very funny. Like you could. Honestly, I think what makes it for me is how uncomfortable Tim is. Yes. Like Randy Quaid, he does this very well. He's so uncomfortable.
I do love like
that.
Their like mutual like understanding after it too. Like traffic. Yeah, and they smile at each other. I like that a lot.
It does seem like they kind of squashed it and kind of like they aren't. It's not like they're friends, but at the same time, they are. There's like a respect there.
Yeah.
It's like a true rival,
They had to get out this like competitive negative energy towards each other, and then now they're fine.
I don't know.
Because they're men.
I don't know, man.
To shake hands.
This is just weird to me, though, the fact that they're trying to imply that these guys are actually, like, really good friends at this point. In some ways, the movie does try to imply that, and there's way that they can do that after this moment. Like, they've been through a serious thing together, and then they, like, became friends, and now there's, like, we're going to stay at your house. We're like bringing our wives and girlfriends together to hang out, and and you're gonna need to race my car because I'm dependent on you to save my family. It's like I don't necessarily buy that.
Yeah,
and maybe it's just because they just don't take the time to show it. I would have loved to have had them actually have a conversation to be like, hey man, like I had you all wrong, dude. Like, like something like that instead of just the.
I had you pegged wrong.
See, I get it though. Like that's the stuff that. They included with like every other scene every other scene. You know what I mean? Like they did the whole fucking stupid car crash racing thing and like, okay, yeah, they're friends now. Fine. I buy
fine,
it.
Fine. Yeah. Whatever.
It's fine. I like both these actors a lot. We're good.
Yeah. It's, I feel like in the end it's, no, Cole, you ended my career.
Yes.
So I'm not your friend. Yeah. Like how about
why
that?
Why are you here?
Yeah.
Why are you at my house?
Want?
Tombstone 4.
Okay, then, I apologize. I don't have my normal computer in front of me, maybe Jarrett was the one that messed up.
I don't believe
I'm just going to throw that out there, that Jarrett perhaps messed up.
Lay off of me, starve me.
Lay off, Jarrett. just kidding, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Scene 4. Cole begins a romantic relationship with Dr. Claire Lewicki while he continues to recover. Dolland hires another hotshot rookie, Russ Wheeler, to fill Cole's seat until Cole returns. When he returns, he's having trouble adapting and is harassed by Russ Wheeler.
Okay. Like Cary Elwes in intro into this. Love Cary Elwes, obviously. But he's like, oh, I'm just sorry I won't be able to drive it like you. And like he's on the phone or whatever. He's like, yeah. He just takes his hand and brings it down to his cock. It's like that's how he meets new people now.
That's just what he does anymore.
He just thinks everyone's a stripper or a call girl.
He's like, this guy's handsome. He's like, God, they aren't. All right. Now it's getting weird. Like, they're doing it with guys now. Real comedians, anyways. Yeah.
All right.
Feel
all
that?
Right. Yep.
All right.
It's big.
All right.
It's big. It's crooked, but it's big.
You that big? Huh? You got a big seat to fill there, damn it.
But this is truly why this podcast was brought about, and what we do here. This is a humanize the goon situation, right? With Russ Wheeler.
Sure.
Okay.
Because like he is my punchable face. Like
yeah.
Like he's one of the reasons that it took me forever to come around on Cary Elwes. Like he's probably the reason I never watched Princess Bride because I hated him so much. He's
always plays villains after
yes.
that. Yeah.
Dude, I hated him. I hated his face in this movie, but but he's doing exactly what Cole Trickle did when he came in to the Cole came in and said, "Ha, I'm gonna fuck with Rowdy Burns.
Yeah.
Because I'm a young hotshot." And Cole's this superhero who we love. But then Russ comes in and is like, "Well, this is my only shot, man. Like, I really got to take my shot."
And then they need a driver. Like, there's a lot of money.
He
in
helps
this
keep
now.
Their team alive.
Superflow, dude. We got to keep it going.
And he's really good. So now he's bumping into Cole Trickle, just like Cole was bumping into Rowdy.
Yeah.
But it's bad now. He's all over me.
It's basically Cobra Kai.
Everything is Cobra Kai.
Everything is either Karate Kid or Cobra Kai at this point, guys. But you're right. Like at the, they bring him in. We need a replacement. We can't just stop selling tampons.
Cool, your brain fucking doesn't work, dude.
Yeah, like
we need a driver.
We don't know how long you're going to be out, so
you don't even care.
Yeah, like
you're busy sneaking into your girlfriend's apartment and filling it with flowers and balloons illegally.
Yeah. Weird ass.
Yeah, that's weird, dude.
Fucking weird, dude.
It's just creepy. It's a stalkerish. Okay, mm-hmm. How'd you get the key? We don't know.
Superflow.
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 The only key
like
you need.
Three fucking boxes of tampons. It's like, yeah, I get those.
Yeah.
Worried about leaky apartments, you should have used Superflow.
Use Superflow.
Only thing that'll keep trickle out. Wait, what?
It'll fill every hole and crack you got.
What is going on?
Tampons. Anyways, Superflow. No. Russ Wheeler, though, he is oh man, yeah. Appreciate you stepping in and
seems
doing
really
that.
Nice.
Seems like a nice young guy. Like it's not like Cole just aged 6 years over time over this, like either. So he's young too. I don't know. It's the young hotshot thing. Let's just redo that. Yeah. All right, sounds good.
Okay. Dude,
they had the chance and they could have taken it. Rush Wheeler.
Yeah.
Rush Wheeler.
Come on, that's like the best driver name in the
that
world.
Would be good.
Wheels Rusher.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I was wondering about when to bring this up. I feel like this is the best time because now we have Cole coming back in to NASCAR, right? And this whole time, it's during like the getting ready for the races and stuff, you hear an announcer like over the intercom. Like it's supposed to be over the intercom. You can kind of tell, right?
Yeah.
It's got that intercom vibe. It's like, oh, we got Rowdy Burns is very excited to be wrapping up in the Thursday. Okay, cool.
Treacherous turn four.
Treacherous turn four. And like he's talking about Rowdy Burns like in the beginning and stuff, right? Then you think about it, you're like, so these guys are hearing everything that this announcer is talking about. And like you have this announcer, this would be like a TV announcer at this point. Like if it's Talladega Nights, it's a TV announcer commentating.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is an intercom that everyone can hear on the infield. And he's sitting there talking about, boy, I sure hope Cole's going to be doing okay after that horrific wreck he just went through. Hopefully he's not still scared to death about climbing into that car. Thanks, guy. It's like, and just imagine like Cole just sitting there listening like,
he's well, just about okay. ready to strap in.
Well, I was... Okay, now to put it that way,
they have
fuck
to
me,
be
I
on
guess.
The same radio channel as the actual radio. It's like, man, well, there's no other channel, so
sorry,
you're going to have to listen to yourself and me and that guy. Yeah.
Just commentating on everything bad, and it's like, what else is this guy talking about? He's like, well, looks like Russ Wheeler and Cole had a little bit of an altercation down there. I hope they aren't getting into it. It's like, stop talking about us, you dick. Like, where are you?
It's on top of an RV somewhere. It was also the microphone.
Yeah.
Understandably, too, I guess, because these things are loud. But, like, the really bad ADR all around, especially when they're in the car. Like, he says, like, son of a bitch. And he's just like, oh, my bitch.
Yeah.
His mouth does not move whatsoever.
There's a few times where it doesn't.
Yeah, it's like, I can get past it, but it's a little noticeable.
I hear you.
Honestly, Russ Wheeler, I think, if we want to commit to it, he can be my punchable face, but
he is mine.
He is yours.
Yeah.
I mean, do we want to commit to this?
You going to commit to Russ Wheeler, or do you got a different one?
Do you got anybody else?
I got Russ Wheeler.
Russ Wheeler's mine, yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, cool. Then I'm not even going to hit the button.
Don't. I don't want it.
I feel like the times, I feel like we kind of wasted it. Yeah, I should have hit it.
It's a bit trite now,
It all seems kind of trite. It all seems kind of trite. I'm going to do this instead.
Hit it! Okay,
there
nice.
You go. Just
save some time there.
We do have to talk about what was the movie we recently talked about it was Twister. We were like, Helen Hunt could have chemistry with anyone except for
Bill Paxton.
That's what's so surprising to me about the fact that Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise did date, and
you don't
I
see
think
it?
We're married. I can see it at times, and I know that they weren't necessarily dating yet, but at this point, but the scene in the bedroom with the sugar packets,
yeah,
like just feels so weird to me, dude. Like, first of all,
like, where did they come from?
I just
carry two sugar packets around me. Well, yeah, I'm trying to focus on my drafting.
Oh, it's funny because he's like, yeah, me right and there, Harry. I want to show you something. Me and Harry have been talking about this thing called drafting.
Yeah.
But also, do you think that's what inspired Armageddon and the animal crackers?
Oh no!
Do you think
100%?
It had to have.
Bruckheimer is just like, I'm gonna keep that for later.
He's like, I'm gonna do this.
He's
later.
Like, what's something else that's sweet that I could send up a woman's leg into her crotch?
But picture Armageddon. Picture that chemistry in that moment of the dumbass animal crackers. Like, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
In this, Nicole McKibben is just kind of like, oh yeah. Everybody knows about drafting, dude. I'm kind of a scientist,
it's
like doctor,
weird,
but
you
whatever.
Don't know. Like, drafting doesn't only exist in race cars.
You know when you're on the interstate and you're behind a semi?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of the same thing, Cole.
Working on this thing called drafting, it's like you've never heard of it, huh?
You know how you ride your motorcycle a lot? I'm sure you can feel the wind changes depending on if you're close behind something or not.
It's like, oh, man, I wish Harry would have explained it that way to me. Now I get it. Like,
me and Harry did this exact same thing with my naked leg in bed.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
That tickles, and I don't like to be touched after fucking.
Okay. Yeah.
So just leave me alone.
That's
please.
What it felt like.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it felt like.
It's like, what are you doing with that sugar? It's like, you can't put that up there, okay?
There's a super flow.
There's super flow. Do you know what sugar will do if you put that there? That's, you're asking for it.
Oh, man.
I don't say it. It's fine.
You said it in the interview, but this is like the most ridiculous thing to me. The fact that it's one of my favorite scenes that he does go back out and change my tires.
Yeah.
Change my tires. But Cole, the race is over. And when he goes out and hits the car, it's pretty satisfying to me.
It is.
But it's also like, this is the end of your career.
No,
your career is over.
You ended everything.
Yes.
This isn't like you after a hockey game dropping gloves or something,
yeah.
Right? That's not what this is, but that's what they chalk it up to be. And it's
that pesky Russ was getting on his nerves.
It's like, it's not you just losing your job because you totaled both of the owner's cars. It's the fact that you're going to be banned for reckless endangerment
vehicular
of another
homicide.
Driver.
Yes.
And yes, attempted vehicular homicide, basically, of another like professional driver. NASCAR, Big John isn't going to dinner.
No.
He wants you out.
Yeah,
you're
done,
dude.
Or like how the MLB announcers would be like, oh, if he hits him one more time, that there's probably going to be a fight, you know?
Yeah.
Or that happens in that sport. Like, it just doesn't happen here.
The
like,
self-policing.
And they don't use the bat to fight each other. Like, he's using his fucking car to almost kill him.
Yeah.
That shot, though, that stationary camera of Russ Wheeler coming around the corner and Cole's car coming straight out.
Oh, yeah.
Is so awesome.
Dude, and looks really good.
Yeah, the up close to Russ where he goes, ah! Like,
so, honestly,
he hit him right where he was in the car.
It's the car crashes that are the best part of the car driving, probably. Yeah. Like...
That's why you watch NASCAR, by the way.
Yeah, obviously. Everybody just wants to see the crash until somebody like gets severely hurt.
No, you don't
like,
want that.
No. The car crashes are like the best part of it. Like when he's coming into the pit and he's like, oh no, that's not good. And like the guy nudges him or something, he goes right in the wall. You're like, that is intense.
Pretty awesome.
The opposite of that is watching a car in somebody's rearview mirror go, meow, like across the other way.
I like that a lot.
Well, like that shitty part too. Where
it's so cheesy.
Russ pulls up in front of him and is blocking him like that.
Yeah,
come on.
I would get pretty fucking pissed too.
Are you telling me that Cole didn't do that to Rowdy at some point and we just didn't show it?
True.
You know he did.
I think part of what makes Russ my punchable face though is a lot of his mannerisms and like probably the ADR like you're talking about, Sean, because when he's like son of a bitch, but that moment when he's about to get hit or something and he's like I laughed every time. I laughed out loud every time and almost woke up my son watching that moment because it was so funny to me.
And Cole just goes,
like he just took a big shit. I mean, kind of did.
So after this, Russ Wheeler kind of went on to, you know, he was disenchanted with racing. He's, you know, it kind of fell out of the limelight a little bit and got into weather a bunch and it really kind of got into like storm chasing.
Yeah.
And so he kind of joined up with this team, got a bunch of money to build these Dorothy ripoffs
but became really fast cars. Yeah, like he knew a lot about driving cars. Fast.
Every time they had car trouble, they were good because he knew.
Because he actually knew about cars.
Yeah. And then he turned into whatever his name is in Twister.
And then he died.
Yeah.
He got picked up by an F7.
Yep, that's how it happened.
Cary Elwes definitely has like a almost like a deeper toned voice. And I think he does a good job like with his voice in his acting roles, actually. I think it's probably an overlooked thing with Cary Elwes. But can you imagine him like in this role with one of his more normal like accents where like or like Robin Hood Men in Tights or
like Saw
or Saw, he's just like and he's just like or him driving past Cole like he does in Twister.
I can imagine
squinty eyes and just being like, oh yes, I'll just pass you on the right. Oh, huh. It's just like it would I think it would be better.
Yep.
I think it'd be a better character altogether.
We're supposed to cut through the chains. We're supposed to cut through our feet.
Cary Elwes.
Well, let's get the final scene here, boys. So scene 5, Cole loses his sponsors from poor performance. After further examination, Rowdy Burns needs to have brain surgery. Rowdy asks Cole to run his car in the Daytona 500. Cole overcomes and wins the race with a little help from Tim and the rest of the crew.
Okay, what a fucking baby. Seriously, at this point, like he's... that shit's going bad for him and he's got his girlfriend in the car, another rental car, and then like gets cut off by somebody and just starts driving into him and shit, scaring the fuck out of Nicole. And like, what a baby. At this point, like I get like taking some steam off. Like I like to go for a drive just by myself whenever something bad happens, but I deal with it. I sit there and cry by myself. I don't nudge other people and fucking try and murder people.
I like to think that was Nicole Kidman's car or something.
I do too.
And like from the track or something or from wherever they came. It must have been the track. And like he just says, no, I'll drive.
No.
After that whole display, no. And he's just like, no, it's fine. I'll drive. I'm fine. I mean, honestly, the cabbie nudging him, rubbing him, Rubbin's racing, bro. So I guess it just was like a PTSD moment. It's like, Rubbin, oh!
That's the moment that
Rubbin's racing!
Rubbin, no, I'm racing! That's the most quoted line for me in this movie, though. Let me out of the car, Cole. Let me out of the car. Let me out of the car, Cole.
The car, Cole.
Anytime I want to get out of the car, that's what I say. Let me out of the car, Cole. And she, like, manhandles him.
Yeah.
Too. She's like, bah! Bah, like shoves him against the wall and stuff. I love it.
This is a saving moment, I think, for some of this, you know, the third act.
Yeah.
I think she just kind of saves these moments with this performance of kind of reading him the riot act on this. Is like, it's denial. Like you're just living denial. And like the fact that you're going to work this out with like 40 other egomaniacs on the track who, you know, is ludicrous. It's just, and she just lays it out so well. But then I think about it, I'm like, where's she walking to? There's nothing around. They're
in her apartment or something. Yeah, like where are
they're
they?
They're in like a parking lot garage thing.
Yeah.
Structure.
Yeah.
She's just gonna go.
She about lets off and it's like when she finally gets out, it's like they're in a completely different place than where she was trying to open the door of this. And you're just like, that's a continuity error. I'm sorry. Like, well, it's tough, but, and it's being picky, but it bothered me every time I watched it happen. I was like, okay, whatever.
This is definitely the best car, though, the mellow yellow car.
I think it is. I thought you were going to like the Superflow.
I do like the Superflow. I like the pink in that. That was my second favorite one when I had all the Matchbox cars. But the mellow yellow one, like, that's a cool car. That made me, that old mellow yellow logo, something about those colors, that greenish and the red of the mellow yellow. Like,
the whole logo on the hood of that car with, like, the line work underneath. Yes. Like, yeah.
And Exxon, that was an Exxon was my favorite.
What Rowdy's car was. Yeah. The mellow yellow was actually like, I think Kyle Petty ended up driving that, or someone in NASCAR ended up driving a mellow yellow car after this movie was over. And it was awesome.
Hell yeah.
But there was never like the City or the Superflow or the Hardys. Maybe there was a Hardys one. I highly doubt that, but
I remember having that Matchbox.
Oh, we all did. Yeah. You did. Listener, you had it. I know
you had it.
You had it. I know you were like, I'm Rowdy Burns.
Well, he goes and visits Rowdy, and like he's like, I don't need to go to the hospital. Hell no. Ain't going to happen. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm great. I feel great. Look at me. I'm getting real good at pool. He's like, Rowdy, you've been...
My family's crying in the other room,
Rowdy,
all the
before
time.
I got here, you were using a baseball bat as a cue. So, yeah. Like, something... You're bad. You're bad.
Why is this baseball bat here?
Yeah.
By the way, take off that bandage from your head. You don't need it anymore.
Like, how much time has passed? How much time has passed at this point?
But I always wish they would give a little bit more about what's really going on with Rowdy. I feel like sometimes in these movies, it just gets to be a little bit too subtle about some of the expositions, some of the descriptions and stuff of maybe what's going on with him. Like, it's, you kind of got to pay attention. Like, he's losing his memory. He's losing his, like, thoughts like that because he doesn't remember where his biggest trophy came from, you know? But it doesn't, I had to like kind of hone in on that. I don't know. Did you guys even catch that, or it resonate, I guess, or am I just being picky about it?
It is an excuse for them to just be like, and you could see it coming anyway. We didn't really need this, I don't think, but like just for Cole to get his shit together and then like, oh, use my car because you're my buddy now, you know? Like there's that aspect to it, but like they hint at it earlier too, where like he starts getting seasick or whatever, and like Cole goes into his bathroom. He's like, oh, did you puke in there too? He's like, no, I just got him taking a shit. Like, you're the one's fucked up.
Yeah.
But that's like the only instance we get besides when he does finally go to the hospital of the CTE pretty much setting in.
Yeah, but then it's weird because then they're like, oh, cool, here's your catalyst, Cole, to get back and to do something good and win this race. But then like, does Rowdy survive the brain surgery? Do we even know? Like,
we don't really care.
No,
he survives and he gets into rock climbing, and it's a whole thing.
It's a whole big thing.
Yeah, they moved to Colorado or Alaska, whatever.
But like this movie's cheeseball enough to have like the final moment of like Rowdy Burns in a wheelchair going, man, thanks so much, dude. You really saved my family. Like, he wheels down the track.
I was just going to say, like,
they don't even have that.
In a hospital gown and the same bandage on his head.
And then, like, and the doctors are chasing him.
And they're like, oh, like, yeah. It's like, it's him up on top of an RV, just like,
with his ass hanging out.
How'd
the back.
Your surgery go? Didn't do it. No, yeah, I ran off.
So. What surgery? I can't remember.
How do you get up there on a wheelchair?
He's a good driver.
Man, he's a good driver. He could do anything.
Well, speaking of the mellow yellow car, like, and we get the second scene, I think, of Robert Duvall, Harry, talking to his car, and he's like rubbing it, and then like you can see like a little oil leaking or whatever. He's like, he's literally making the car wet.
Yeah.
Talking to it at this point.
It's gotta be.
He's gotta go get a Superflow. Car's trickling.
Plug it right up, man.
Superflow would have fixed that just to. So quick.
Yeah. Too bad we don't got them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, we don't have those anymore.
Oh, we had so many. Now we got none.
Well, and do you even understand? Like, I still to this day cannot understand. So they imply that they stole an engine from Tim.
Right.
They imply that no one knows about this. We took an engine and we're going to use it. But then, like, and then you even get Tim kind of like side eye stinking them, being like, did they take my engine? But then at the end, Tim clearly pretty much admits that he's like, that's my engine and that's my car.
Yeah, he gave it to him, right?
Yeah, did he? Tim, yeah.
But I just, whatever.
Why lie about it is what you're asking?
Yeah, like, but why everyone's like, no one knows we took this, but Tim's like, no one knows I gave it to him. And like, it's very strange.
It's almost like it's all about keeping the secret from Cole to a degree.
Or Russ Wheeler and the rest of that team or something.
Maybe keeping it from the other teams or from all this other. It just doesn't seem like it's necessary. It could have been a more redeeming moment for Tim to be like, well, where'd you get it? Well, you'd never guess. And then they both look over at Tim and he's like,
see, I love you.
You know, gives the approval nod. It's like, I don't love it, but I respect you,
David. So, how much money does this motherfucker have if he's like betting on Russ Wheeler in that car? And like, does he own all of these guys?
He owns those two teams.
Okay. So is that legal?
I mean, yeah, it is actually. It is legal. That is a thing. Like owners have different drivers on different teams. It's kind of like, didn't you kind of say that on like F1?
F1 does that. Yeah. Each team has two different drivers.
Yeah.
Buying a lot of lotto tickets to increase your chances.
Yeah, you got it. Sure. I think it ends kind of abruptly.
It really does.
Yeah.
Again, what happened with Rowdy? You're just like, well, he's going into brain surgery and he's got 60% that he could make it out without any issues. And we don't care anymore. And he gets out of his car. It's like he kisses his girl and we're done.
Well, no, we have to run.
60% chance Rowdy will make it. There's only a 30% chance of that.
Yes.
even this running, did you notice that they sped that up? They sped up Tom Cruise and Robert Duvall running. I never noticed that as a kid at all. But they wanted Tom Cruise was like, we got to run faster than that.
It's so cheesy, but
race. Yeah.
Fuck, man. Like,
what a great freeze frame, though. Yes. Are you feeling it? Oh, like, it is the perfect freeze frame.
Mouth smiling. Yes, it is funny.
You got to be upset if you're Robert Duvall, though, like more upset than Reese Witherspoon in Election about that freeze frame. Because if you freeze frame at the wrong time, Tom Cruise will always look good running, no matter where he's at in his stride. But then you have Robert Duvall, who unfortunately got caught in this whole thing, where he's just like,
it's all right.
Like you're just mid step, and like your arms are close to your side, like
you're just, instead of this,
yeah, instead of a good running man, you're just like. Oh.
Well, Robert Duvall runs gut first.
There's dick first. There's gut first. There's nose first. Oh. You're right. He is. It's great though. It's good camaraderie. I think it's a positive ending. It's abrupt for me.
So. Where to? Victory Lane.
Mm. Oh, daddy.
Setting up Days of Thunder 2.
Yeah.
Never happened. I got nothing else, boys. What about
I don't
it?
Think so.
Well, we've dissected this with a modern eye. It's time to give us a modern day rating. AJ, what do you got to say about this, man?
You know what? I had a lot of fun watching this movie. I really did. I think the critics were too critical, and I think some of the fans were, like a lot of the reviews I was picking through, you really get two different types of people. Either they watch the movie because they're NASCAR watchers, they're NASCAR guys, and then you've got other ones that are like, I just want to see a Tom Cruise movie about him going fast, you know. And I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I think it's a fun movie. I don't know enough about racing for it to like ruin it for me, but I know enough to appreciate it and some of the stuff that they did do in this movie. So Robert Duvall might be my favorite performance of him that I've seen to date. And Tom Cruise is great. Nicole Kidman saves a good portion of the movie. And I think you've got some great support character actors. I think I enjoy it. I enjoy the messages. I'm going to give this a 7.15.
Damn, bro. 7.15. Sean, what about you?
Yeah, I love all the actors in this so much. Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman is utterly breathtaking in this. Michael Rooker is fantastic. Like, you can't get a much better cast in this. John C. Reilly, we didn't really talk about him much.
Didn't get a lot, but yeah.
Really, really good to see him in this. Yeah, I love Tony Scott's movies. I love the way they look, and I love all of the car action that we do get in this movie. It's just unfortunately bogged down by unnecessary like exposition and like these talking scenes. Like, you know, whatever about talking scenes, but like in a movie, in a Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer movie about fucking NASCAR, we didn't need a Robert Towne script, to be honest. Like, we didn't need any of that in this. We just needed it to be schlocky and fun, and the hero wins at the end. That's all we needed. This movie's like 2 hours and 5 minutes. I think it's way too long for what it needs to be. But it is a really fucking fun time, and it's 100% watchable and rewatchable. I'm going to give it a 6.899.
So that's what's wild about this, is that sometimes when you haven't seen it, you like it generally better than the person who had the nostalgic vibe.
Sure.
And I think that is how today is, because like I liked it so much as a child, and I held it on such a high pedestal that now I'm able to watch this and be like, God, geez, it's not as good as I remember it. Gotcha. Kind of like Top Gun, to tell you the truth. I like Top Gun better. And I ultimately didn't like Top Gun that much on our rewatch, because it's not necessarily that great of a movie. And that's how I feel about this. It's very fun and it's awesome to watch, but it's not quite Top Gun for me. And that's because I was able to pull away that nostalgia. So I'm a 6.1. We got to go to Starling. He says, how do I ask this? What in the hell is this movie about? The short answer, of course, is NASCAR racing. But if that was the case, shouldn't I glean some insight into the sport? There's a token explanation about stock cars and their role in leveling the playing field. We learn that the driver is the differentiator, along with a few throwaway lines about different types of turns. This feels like someone just watched Top Gun, knew absolutely nothing about NASCAR, and thought, let's make Top Gun on the track. No way that expression was not in the pitch meeting. The love subplot is practically a carbon copy of Top Gun. She's a smoking hot professional in a male-dominated field. She can hold her own with Tom Cruise for a physical, non-emotional relationship, though in this case, their relationship just adds an unnecessary screen time. Even the lovemaking scene is a Top Gun knockoff, a dark silhouette with a zoom-in on French kissing, followed with everyone looking hot on motorcycles. That's exactly what happens.
Tony Scott. True romance.
So it's barely about racing, and it's definitely not about friendship. The movie opens the same as Necessary Roughness. Someone convinces a former leader to take a chance on a non-conventional athlete, except that movie didn't feel like we had chopped out a few scenes from the beginning. Randy Quaid just shows up talking to Robert Duvall as if we, the audience, had any context as to what was happening at all. The same thing with Tom Cruise. He's just there, and we have no idea why he's supposed to be so good. He just is, and we're going to build a team around him despite his lack of NASCAR racing experience. But this is not even about building a great team or watching Maverick, I mean Cole Trickle, a.k.a. worst character nickname ever, learn to harness his natural talent as a driver reaching stock car excellence. Cole is good, just trust us. Like Maverick, Cole gets grounded two-thirds into the movie, but finds his way back into the cockpit by the end, winning through unconventional maneuvers. Like many aspects of this movie, we must accept that Cole just is better with little story or explanation. This was at the beginning of Tom Cruise's rising star, and you can tell he's there for popularity, and Robert Duvall is there for the talent. There's no need for smart editing or story development. We have Tom Cruise, the Top Gun guy. Have you seen him? Of course, when the movie ended, Paramount Plus queued up Top Gun as the suggested next movie to watch. Mm-hmm. I wish this movie made me love racing more, but it did make me love Robert Duvall more. I hate to say it, but I'm a 5.75 on this one. So
okay. I am shocked I'm the highest one out of all four of us.
It's sometimes it just hits you different, right? Yeah. So we are a 6.47. And if we're going to look at our ratings, guys, it's going to take me one quick second here because I don't have my computer.
That's okay. I just want to bring a visual to everyone's head. Is there's a big perfect meeting, like pitch meeting that's happening. Tom Cruise is there. Tony Scott. Town is there. Everybody's there, right? And then they get done. They're like, what do you think? And then everyone's looking around and Tom Cruise just says, basically Top Gun with NASCAR.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, yeah.
That sounds great. Yeah. $50 million.
Yeah.
That ties us exactly with Airborne at a 6.47. Airheads and Tremors are slightly better. Out Cold and Roadhouse slightly worse is how we feel about that.
Yes.
With a modern day rating.
Yes. Fine.
You know what? One more thing, too. If she wasn't a doctor, maybe she's like a mechanic or something, then we didn't need any of the CTE hospital stuff.
No problem. No.
Then we could avoid it all.
Then we would have had
and, like stay. I wanted this movie to, like stay on like the track and like the garages and shit.
Yeah,
that's where I wanted it.
Basically, would have been gone 60 seconds then.
Yeah, love it.
Nice. Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks to our Patreon members at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast for voting on this. This was our monthly vote for them. We gave them some Tom Cruise movies. We'll have new votes coming for you next month. Please join in on the fun. Next week we start May of Sways Uncaged.
Let's go, baby.
That is Patrick Swayze and Nick Cage movies. We got Donnie Darko, Dirty Dancing, The Outsiders, National Treasure, and Face Off. Oh, dude, and if you are new to the podcast, go back this time last year, Big Trouble in Little China.
Come on.
Man, not quite the redemption that it had for me with The Thing. Still a fun movie and fun episode to go revisit. Thank you for visiting us here in the studio. If you're checking us out on YouTube, we really do appreciate it. By the way, you can catch us on the social media. Just search for Confused Breakfast, guys. Anywhere on social media, Confused Breakfast. By all means, please hit that subscribe button while you're listening to the podcast, because a lot of people don't even subscribe to the podcast that they listen to. If you're doing that too, leave us 5 stars. If you're subscribing, guys, leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars. Check it out.
Go to ConfusedBreakfast.com and see the merch that we have. You can buy some shirts. You can get some stickers. You can get some hats. I believe you can even sponsor a race car. Yep. Just put our logo on there. You can buy it.
I want that race car.
Go to ConfusedBreakfast.com as well to see the ratings of the movies that we have covered. See our individual ratings as well as the shows. Overall, I appreciate you and love you so much. Thank you. Goodbye.
We are produced by the Upload Media Group in Cedar Rapids. We got Logan on the controls. Learn more at UploadMediaGroup.com.
He's dabbing.
And we are at the Cloud 10 iHeart Podcast Network. Learn more at cloud10.fm. Support our sponsors. That's it. Goodbye.
Bye.